Hispanic, most magnificent, I'll be honest. I couldn't do much of anything that I do without my wife. Amen. That's the reality. I just couldn't. There's a billion things that she does to support me. There's no way I would ever have the energy to do what I do without her support. So thank God for my wife, not with her. I honestly believe that, you know, if you're praying for your kids, if they walk away from the Lord, just pray. Okay, my grandmother was incredible. Both my grandmothers were incredible women of prayer. And my great-grandmother, my grandfather was a chaplain. My father was a chaplain. I really don't like speaking in front of people. I'd rather speak in front of kids. I've done that for on and off for about 30 years. I thank you for the opportunity, Pastor. You know, like you said, we're being stretched. I won't. I'm going to echo that sentiment. I'm not comfortable up here, but God opens doors. He says, go through it, put your belly in there. I'm going to talk tonight, but the pastor asked me to speak. I'm going to speak from the book of 1 Samuel. Now, 1 Samuel is a book that's really close to my wife's and mine's heart because we named our son after Samuel the prophet. Amen. Because she took my wife, it's a miracle thing. Son was not able to be born until God did a miracle in our lives. And when the pastor spoke, said, hey, you can speak on this day. I realized it was right after Thanksgiving. And I realized, and God just said, this is what you're going to talk about. I'm not sharp as the shed. I try to argue with God. Why don't you pick somebody else, please? Our pastor was talking to us, he just said, this is what we're going to talk about. Shut up and do what I tell you to do, basically. The title of my message tonight is going to be the best part. We normally look at the book of 1 Samuel and we focus on Samuel and how God raised him up from such a little age, how he was a miracle baby, and God raised him up, and you hear the powerful bridge that he was, and the shift in the spiritual momentum in Israel's history. But unfortunately, that's not what I'm going to be talking about tonight. The title of this is the best part. What I would like to do is look at some people that kept the best part for themselves, yeah. And what God did with them, and then some people that didn't keep the best part for themselves, and how God used them, and how that applies to us. Yeah. Okay, we just got through Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving more than my birthday, honestly. Even though I'm still thankful to be celebrating birthdays because the alternative is I'm under the dirt. But I love Thanksgiving more than my birthday because we usually have a huge spread at the Withrow House. I usually cook for a couple hours. My wife and I, we cooked this past Thanksgiving. Thank God the turkey wasn't dry. I hate dry turkey. If I ruin Thanksgiving, you just have to double up or triple up on pie. Which I don't have any problem with eating when the turkey isn't dry. But we ate really good at our house. We had a lot of people there. And we like probably most people, we just grazed. When Thanksgiving hit, we just reheat the leftovers and we're like cows. We wander in the kitchen, mooing, and we just look to just put our face in some food. We don't care what it is. Microwave it. Green beans, moo. Okay, pie, moo. And I'll go to the bathroom and think I need to do something, and I'm like, you know what? I no, I shouldn't, but I'm going to move. I just go back and graze like a cow. Okay? We're going to, if you got your Bibles, open them to 1 Samuel chapter 2. Okay, we're going to talk about the sons of Eli. Okay? And how wicked they were. Okay? I'm going to have the scriptures up there. Brother Paul and Brother Edward were super helpful. I don't like technology. I honestly believe that my secret superpower is technology touch of death. And I can crash any network at any time. I seem to have that gift. Okay, so I did not do these slides. Thank you, brother, for helping me out. Okay, but I'm going to read from a different version than what you're going to see up here. It's going to say basically the same thing. We're going to start 1 Samuel chapter 2, and we're going to read 12 to 17. Read with me. Now the sons of Eli, I love this. Now the sons of Eli were scoundrels. We had no respect for the Lord or for their duties as priests. Whenever anyone offered a sacrifice, Eli's son would send over a servant with a three-pronged fork. While the meat of the sacrificed animal was still boiling, the servant would stick the fork into the pot and demand that whatever it brought up be given to Eli's sons. All the Israelites who came to worship in Shiloh were treated this way. Sometimes the servant would come even before the animal's fat had been burned on the altar. He would demand raw meat before it had been boiled so that it could be used for roasting. The man offering the sacrifice might reply, "Take as much as you want, but the fat must be burned." Then the servant would demand, "No, give it to me now, or I'll take it by force." So the sin of these young men was very serious in the Lord's sight, for they treated the Lord's offerings with contempt. Okay? Now, as wicked as this seems, it gets worse. Okay? This was not where they stopped. Okay? And they learned this behavior. I honestly believe, when I try to read the Bible, I try to think, if I was there, how would I view this? Yeah. Would I have acted differently? Okay? And I think, if they're acting like this, they had to have learned it from someone. Yeah. And when we play the scriptures, and we fast forward, I'm going to show you who they learned it from. Let's go to 20, verses 22 to 25. It said, now Eli was very old, but he was aware of what his sons were doing to Israel. He knew, for instance, that his sons were seducing young women who assisted at the entrance of the tabernacle. Eli said to them, "I have been hearing reports from the people about the wicked things you are doing. Why do you keep sinning? You must stop, my sons. The reports I hear among the Lord's people are not good. If someone sins against another person, God can mediate for the guilty party. But if someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede?" But Eli's sons would not listen to their father, for the Lord was already planning to put them to death. I read that and I think, I tried to read the Bible since I was a kid. And I read that and I think, I remember reading that as a kid and thinking, how did that get in there? Is that a typo? How did God, why would God set somebody aside and decide, you know what, I've had enough. I've had enough of this. These two are going to die. I'll be honest. I'm thankful I didn't live back then. I'm super thankful. Because I'll be honest. I've lived wickedly. I deserve death. I deserve hell. I know that. And thank God I live in the time I do live, and that Jesus came before I came, so that I do have a mediator, so that I do have someone enforcing. I know he's guilty, but my blood speaks, amen, and my blood makes him righteous. I paid the price already. This one's not going to hell. Okay? Thank you, God, for Jesus. Alright? Let's go over to verses 27 and 36. Okay? I honestly believe Hophni and Phinehas learned this from their father. Scary. One day a prophet came to Eli, verse 27, gave him a message from the Lord. "Didn't I reveal myself to your ancestors when the people of Israel were slaves in Egypt? I chose your ancestor Aaron from among all his relatives to be my priest, to offer sacrifices on my altar, to burn incense, and to wear the priestly garments as he served me, and I assigned the sacrificial offerings to you priests. So why do you scorn my sacrifice and offering?" He doesn't even mention Hophni and Phinehas. because I think Eli started it before Hophni and Phinehas took it to the next level. I honestly believe that. And you see at Eli's death, it says he was sitting in his chair. He goes backwards. He was so heavy, when he went backwards, he broke his neck because he was heavy. Why was he heavy? Because he had made himself fat on the Lord's sacrifice. He was taking the best part for himself. That is where Hophni and Phinehas, I believe, learn how to do this. Now, I'll be honest. I love bacon. I love bacon. My wife made ribs the other night, pork spare ribs. I'd rather eat her ribs than go to any restaurant in this city. Okay? I know it's bad for me. I smothered it in barbecue sauce. Oh, my goodness, it was good. We own pigs. We're going to hopefully breed those pigs and make little bacon seeds. Okay? But I honestly think these two young men, Hophni and Phinehas, learned this from their father. And here's what I think happened. I think even though the priests were allowed to take a portion of sacrifice, I think this was the step. I think an appetite became an attitude. I think an appetite, he, with that pork in one time, got a little taste of that fat. He said, man, I like that fat. I want me some more of that fat. And I think he did it again. That appetite became an attitude. That attitude became an action that he kept doing. I think that attitude that became an action resulted in spiritual apathy. He stopped restraining his sons because he had no grounds to rebuke them. Because he was guilty himself of getting into the appetites. And he taught them, embrace those appetites. Okay? When that attitude became an action, and that action resulted in spiritual apathy, God said, this will be an anathema. I abhor this activity, and I am going to judge you. And he did. And he didn't just judge Eli. This is the scary thing for me. He says, I'm so mad at you, I'm going to kill your sons in the same day. And he did. And you know what? It was worse. Eli died. Eli's daughter-in-law died. And there was a curse on everybody in the lineage of Eli afterwards. You see, what we forget about God, what we don't remember about God, is we love the promises of God. And he says, I will bless. He reveals himself as a transgenerational blesser. He wants to bless. He's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And he says, I don't forget my covenant. I remember. I will have mercy. Okay? But he also will curse if we kick against his sacrifice. Alright? I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go to 1 Samuel 15. Saul did the same thing when he became king. Okay, I'm going to read verses 2 and 3 from 1 Samuel chapter 15. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I decided to settle accounts with the nation Amalek for opposing Israel when they came from Egypt. And go and completely destroy the entire Amalekite nation. Men, women, children, babies, cattle, sheep, camels, donkeys. Okay, it's clear. Okay, they attacked Israel when they were coming up out of Egypt, when they were most vulnerable. That's the apple of God's eye. So he decided, hey, I'm gonna take my revenge. I will avenge. Let's go to 13, verse 13, chapter 15. That is not what Saul did. He did not do what Samuel said. He did not do what the Lord wanted to do. It says, when Samuel finally found him, Saul greeted him cheerfully. May the Lord bless you. He said, I have carried out the Lord's command. He's completely lying. He's completely lying because slow obedience is no obedience. He has deceived himself, and he goes to the priest and says, may the Lord bless you. He said, I've carried out the Lord's command. Samuel's right there in the midst of all the spoil and the plunder that Saul and his men had taken. Directly disobeyed. He says, then this is Samuel, and what is all this bleating of sheep and loading of cattle I hear? Samuel demanded. And so Saul responds, you know, it's true. The army spared the best of the sheep and cattle, Saul admitted. They're going to sacrifice unto the Lord your God. We've destroyed everything else. Also not true. And Samuel said to Saul, stop. Listen to what the Lord told me last night. Okay? Yeah. And I'm going to skip down to verses 22 and 23. It says, but Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord? Your burnt offerings and sacrifice, or your obedience to his voice? Okay? Obedience is far better than sacrifice. Listening to him is much better than offering the fat of wrath. I remember Steve Camp. I grew up, I'm a child of the 70s. Yeah. I was born in 73. Okay? I'm a child of the 70s. Can you dig it? Okay? I grew up listening to Christian music. And I remember this song by, I think it was Steve Camp. And he sang a song, to obey is better than sacrifice. Amen. And to hearken, better than the fat of rams. Okay, based on this verse. Verse 23, rebellion is as bad as the sin of witchcraft. Yeah. Okay, when we think of witches, we think, man, those people are bad. Channeling demons, conjuring spirits. Right. Are we any different when we rebel? Ouch. All right? Let's go to Malachi. Because God takes this serious. The same thing happened to Saul that happened to Eli and Hophni and Phinehas. Saul died. So did his sons. Same day. God takes it serious. I'm going to go to Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. The Lord Almighty says to the priest, a son honors his father and a servant respects his master. I am your father and master, but where are the honor and respect I deserve? You have despised my name. But you ask, how have we ever despised your name? You despise my name by offering defiled sacrifices on my altar. Then you ask, how have we defiled the sacrifices? You defile them by saying the altar of the Lord deserves no respect. When you give a blind animal, or when you give blind animals a sacrifice, isn't that wrong? Isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? Try giving gifts like that to your governor and see how pleased he is. I'm going to be honest. All right? I did not want to preach this. This is what it looks like when we give less than the best part. This is what it looks like. If a guest of honor comes to my home and I just reheat the Thanksgiving leftovers because I'm too lazy to cook a big feast, am I really honoring that person? No, I'm not. If I got a ring, if I was engaged to somebody and the engagement broke off and I got the ring back, you all know where this is going, and I meet somebody new. Meet a new fancy lady. And I give her the ring. How long? When did you buy this? Oh, when I was at my last engagement. I don't think she's going to want that. It's not the best part. That's not what the best part looks like. Okay? I'm going to try to paint a picture of what the best part might look like. And I believe I'm close to it, if not dead on. This is from Luke chapter 7. Verses 36 to 39. It says, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to come to his home for a meal. So Jesus accepted the invitation and sat down to eat. A certain immoral woman heard he was there and brought a beautiful jar filled with expensive perfume. And she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet. And she wiped them off with her hair. She kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. I think that is probably what the best part looks like.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever been there. That's what's terrifying to me. I mostly treat God like customer service. Like, hey, I'll call you when I need you. Okay? Hey, you know what? When our water heater broke down yesterday, our water heater crashed yesterday.
Oh my gosh, it was a mess.
Yeah. Water, thank goodness, my wife was home. She cut everything off. She knew exactly what to do. She did amazing. Okay? But I never really looked and paid attention to my water heater until it broke. And then I called a little number on the side, which did me no good. It's broken. You see, go get a new one. But I think I look at prayer, and I look at my time with God, kind of like that number, like, hey, you know what? When I get a problem, I'll give you a ring.
Yeah.
Okay? And I don't think that is the best part. Matter of fact, I know it's not. I know it's not. Okay? I know it's not the best part. I think the best part for me is not when I get up and I flip through my phone and I look at the news. I look at email. I look at my bank account. I don't think that's the best part. I don't think I'm giving God what he's due. There is a one negative emotion that God uses, negative human emotion that God uses to describe himself. And I think that is very much the reason why God destroyed these people that did not give him the best part. It's in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. Okay, God's giving the commands to the Israelites. Verse 5, he says, you must never worship or bow down to them. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God.
Yep.
Will not share your affection with any other God. I do not leave unpunished the sins of those who hate me, but I will punish the children for the sins of their parents in the third and fourth generation. But I lavish my love on those who love me and obey my commands, even for a thousand generations.
Amen.
I got to be careful. I got to be honest. I got to be careful because I know that my appetites can lead to an attitude. I know that my attitudes can lead to an action. I get tired. I get up early in the morning. I'm tired. I don't want to pray. So I make excuses. I'm tired. God, you know I'm tired. Pathetic, it's really pathetic.
Right.
God, I know you can move today without me. But I don't want my kids.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
Right.
I don't want that same pattern to result in what happened with Eli and his son, Saul and his son. I want. And I got to give God the best part.
Yeah.
I got to give God the best part. Yeah. He is jealous because he loves us so much.
Right.
Yeah. He loves us so much. Yeah. I imagine, because the Bible says the eyes of the Lord brings true fruit out to earth, looking to strengthen the hearts of those who are fully committed to him. I honestly believe it's kind of like watching your kid play sports. My kid has played sports, and I'm waiting. You know what? I'll be nice to the other parents, but I want to see my kid play. I want to see my kid, and that my kid might do one thing the whole game, but that thing could be great. I'm going to be proud of that one thing. I don't care if they win. I don't care if they lose. If my kid touches the ball once, I'm going to be proud. I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to be standing up. I'm going to scream. I'm going to yell. And I think that's what God every day is looking for with us. I think he's looking for us to get up, give him the best part of the day, give him the beginning of the day, concentrate to him. I think he is ready to say, you know what? I see you. I hear you. Okay, when I was a kid, I'm going to step out of the frame here a little bit. Little Mike Brown put me out here. All right, he got me this. Show me where this was. Okay, so when I was a kid, this is what we had. This is not what we had, actually. This is pretty fancy. We just had crap. Alright? So when I was a kid, we used to have stereos. We called them boom boxes, ghetto blasters. We had little tape decks. We thought we were cool. We used to record all the songs off the radio because we were too poor to buy the electrical stuff. We used to buy a bunch of great things.
Amen.
Okay, I'll tell you, a job in the 70s. And I found one, I found this one, Mike Brown got me this one from the prayer room. But I found one in a thrift store. I put it in my shed. And I think this is what our prayer time should look like. I think it should be, we plug in,
yeah.
You raise that antenna,
yeah.
We roll that button.
Wow.
We start listening. Because let's face it, there's radio waves, and somebody's transmitting something all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And I think this is what we gotta listen to.
Yeah.
But God is speaking all the time.
Amen.
He was forever settled in heaven. He wants to have that time with us. He is so jealous. He's saying, don't give me the leftovers. I want the best part.
Yes.
The first part of your day.
Yes.
I want you to roll that little knob, put the phone away, raise the antenna, plug it in the wall, and let's start listening. Because the world doesn't need to see me. The world does not need to hear me. I work in the military. Paul attests to this. By virtue of my position, I'm super rude. I yell at people all day long. And I'm going to be honest, the world has plenty of rude people. It doesn't need another rude one. It has plenty of rude people. But I think that if we just do that, that God will open up those opportunities for us to share Christ.
Yeah.
So that when we get to heaven, we know some people there.
Yes.
He does magnificent preaching. But he's never been to my job because my job's my job.
Yeah.
My job is the people that I have to reach.
Yeah.
Your job is the people you need to reach.
Yeah.
And the only way you're going to see Jesus in us is if we plug in. Get everything out of the way because our God is a jealous God.
Right.
If we stop giving him the leftovers and reheat those things,
yeah.
We raise that antenna, tune it just right, I think we'll start hearing and knowing exactly what he wants us to do.
Right.
Exactly what he wants us to do. He spoke to Samuel in his ear. Hey, you're going to meet somebody today and this is what's going to happen. I think he wants that. I don't think there's a parent alive that has lost contact with their kid and misses them, that if their kid called them, would be like, hey, I'm busy. Hang on. We long for the voices of our children in our ears.
Yeah.
We long for that. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and close. Okay, I don't know what your best part looks like. I know what mine doesn't look like. And it needs to change. I need to put away the phone. To stop making other things a priority because God is a jealous God.
Amen.
I need to consecrate that first hour or two of my day in prayer.
Amen.
So that whatever flows through the speakers is more than what I got. What I got ain't enough. It ain't what this world needs, that's for darn sure.
Amen. Amen.
All right, I'm going to close in prayer. Again, I want to thank the pastors for the opportunity to do this. My closing prayer. If you're listening, if you've heard this message, you're touched by it, it's the case. Okay, if you look at the Ten Commandments, maybe if you're listening, you don't have a relationship with God, you think you're okay. Just look at the Ten Commandments. Just go through the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Don't make me graven image out of anything. Don't take God's name in vain. Honor the Sabbath day. Keep holy. Honor your father and mother. Don't commit murder. Okay? Be angry with somebody without cause. Jesus said it was like murder. Don't commit adultery. Look on a woman lustfully. It's adultery. Okay? Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't covet. If I would have been born back in the time of Eli's son, I would have broke all of those. We broke all those. They did. We broke them all. I'm saying if you broke one, you've broken them all. Because Eve says, don't commit adultery, also says the other nine. Okay, so if you think your own righteousness, if you're out there and you're listening, you say, I'm good. I'm a good person. I'm not going to kill nobody.
Right, yeah.
The Bible would beg to differ.
Yeah.
I, I would not want to be the one standing in front of God saying, you're a liar, God. Okay, you need Jesus. I need Jesus. Okay, thank God I live in the time that I do, because I need that mediator between God and man. I need him. And I know I need him. I just need to get him better than what I've been getting. Let's pray. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your patience. Lord, I thank you for your mercy, Lord God. I thank you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence and your power. I thank you for my family, Lord Jesus. I thank you for the church and leadership here. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for hearing us and for longing for intimate conversations with us. Powerful moments in prayer where you can saturate us with your prayer presence. Lord, I just pray for the Supreme Court today, the decisions that they're making. I pray on behalf of the born and the unborn. I pray for leaders everywhere, Lord Jesus, for every single person in this room, including myself, to show us where we're letting things get in the way of getting the best for you. And Lord Jesus, help us to yield to whatever it is you've called us to, whatever it is you want us to do. It's like the pastor said, well, we know that we have to run this race. We've got to stretch for it. We know that you're coming back soon, Jesus, and everything in the world is crying chaos. But you, Jesus, are the Prince of Peace. You're coming to overrule everything. You're coming to give peace to your remnant, peace to your saints, peace to Jerusalem. You're coming, Lord Jesus, in power. Lord, help us to give you the best part so that wherever we go and whatever we do, the people that we meet, they hear from the speakers what we tuned in to listen from you and your word. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness towards us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.